What a joy, what an honor to get to share the word with you tonight. I'm so excited. Before I get into what God has given me to share tonight, could I get all of the intercessors in the house to stand up? If you are an intercessor, if you have a specific call to prayer, would you stand up on your feet tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No, stand on your feet for just a second. I just want to pray before I get into the word tonight. I just felt like the Lord was pouring fresh oil into the intercessors tonight. And so we want to just acknowledge you and thank God for you. And you have been carrying such burdens that aren't your own because you are walking into places and people are dealing with such depression and suicidal attempts and all kinds of darkness. And we just want to pray for the intercessors. Can we do that tonight, right now? Just extend your hand out to them if you would. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these intercessors. God, I thank you for right now. You are pouring in a balm of healing, God, an anointing, Father God, a fresh wind over them, Father God, that you are empowering them, Lord Jesus, as they stand in the gap, Father God. We break off every spirit of heaviness, Father God, every spirit of weariness, Father God. We break the power of any kind of suicidal spirits that have tried to come around them from the people they're interceding for. In the name of Jesus, God, we break it in Jesus' name, God, and we thank you for pouring your anointing and your healing balm into their souls right now, God. In the name of Jesus, they will rise up, Father God, and have fresh wind and fresh oil, Father God, as they intercede on the behalf of your people, God. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, I'm so excited to share the word with you tonight. We have been coming to Cannon Beach. My husband and I were talking about it. We've been coming here for 13 years. This is our 13th year of being here, and it is such an honor and privilege to be around y'all, and from Idaho, and from Montana. I don't think Montana's here tonight, but California, and Oregon, and Washington, and we have just have such great memories, and made such great friends in all the years we've been coming here, and I think we kind of mark our lives by Cannon Beach because of the growth of our children. We've been bringing our kids here since they were born. Our oldest is 9, our second oldest is almost 7, our third oldest is 4, and that's it. If you have more than 3 children, God bless you. I say I would take one more if they came from the stork, but I'm done. My body had the last one at 40, and I can't do any more. That's all God has blessed us with. But I just want to thank Sally, because you have to thank Sally if they ask you to preach, because it's written somewhere that you have to be really nice to Sally, because Sally runs the whole thing, I found out, right? I found that out a lot of years ago, and I think that Sally, if you get on her bad side, she might have put you in the room right below us when we had toddlers, because I have memories of my oldest one, you know, being in the room, and she's screaming, she had 4 molars coming in at once one year, and I just hid out in my room, my husband came over here, but if you were in the room below us, I just want you to forgive me from the bottom of my heart. For the years that my children were screaming and or the year I was pregnant and my husband ran all over Cannon Beach to find me Mary and Berry pie. So we mark memories from the times we come to Cannon Beach and the things that happen with our kids. And so when they asked me to speak, you know, a couple weeks ago, a little bit, you know, it was a couple, like 2 weeks ago maybe, they asked me to speak, and my husband said, "Hey, they want you to speak in Cannon Beach, will you do that?" And I said, "Sure, right after I throw up." Why? Because it's one thing to get up and speak in front of your congregation and your people that are coming in that are young in the Lord. You all, I know I could hand the mic to anyone in the room and you all could preach. So what? Sure, I'll do that. And I got before the Lord and I thought, God, this is a really big deal, because these are your ministers. These are your leaders. These are your chosen vessels for this hour. And I'll happily get up and share with him, but you're going to have to show up. And all God's people said, Amen. So he did give me a word. So I want you to look at your neighbor tonight. I want you to just touch them on the shoulder, if you would. Just touch them and just sit. Tell them this. To announce my title, if you would. Say, move. Move. With what you've got. Look at your other neighbor tonight, if you would, and just say, move. Move. With what you've got. Hallelujah. I want you to step back in time with me, if you will, tonight, into a story. And I want you to imagine with me that you are on the roof of a house and you have flax sheaves laying on top of you. I want you to imagine at this time in history that you are in this set time, because I believe God is pulling some things out of the story that apply to us in this moment of time right now. I want you to imagine that you are laying underneath flax sheaves on the roof of a harlot. Didn't lose anybody, did I? You want you to imagine you are laying there under the flax sheaves. And you are thinking to yourself, this is not how this mission was supposed to go. This is not how this was supposed to go down. As you're laying underneath flax sheaves and you're smelling the flax, and it smells like a hayfield, and you're feeling flax on your arms and flax up your nose and flax in your hair, and it's all over your arms and your legs, and it's itchy, and you're laying there and you're thinking, this was not what was supposed to happen on this mission when I came to spy out the land. We know that Joshua sent them to spy out the land, and now they're on the roof of Rahab, feeling the flax all around them. And they begin to remember, what does this flax remind them of? A season 40 years earlier when God delivered them out of Egypt and they had to sew flax garments for the priests. Flax in Scripture always speaks of purity. It always speaks of cleanliness. It speaks of holiness. Where in the wilderness, the priests were wearing garments of linen made out of flax. And what's supposed to represent cleanliness and holiness, now certainly they're in a place that feels anything but when they're on the roof of a harlot. This mission did not go as they thought it would. And they're thinking of what the flax was used for. In the temple, when they would weave together the flax and out of purple and red and blue and make the cherubim. In the temple, or the linen curtains all around the holy place are made out of flax. And they're thinking about how this represents purity and holiness. And in one season, the priests were wearing the linen garments out in the open, and now they are hidden underneath the flax sheaves. And we are experiencing a season shift, where suddenly they have experienced a season shift where they find themselves in enemy territory. They've lived in the wilderness for 40 years, and now the whole season has shifted, and they find themselves hidden underneath the flax sheaves. And my brothers and sisters, I believe that we have passed through a season where God has hidden us for a time. He has hidden us with the righteous acts of the saints. We've been covered as plagues have passed us by, as mandates have rolled through the states, as we've walked through, you know, we had a time in our church where we were taking the offering in a parking lot with a wheelbarrow for drive-in church. Wheel the wheelbarrow around, take the offering. People worshiping out of their sunroofs. I mean, y'all did crazy things too. You're all wild, right? Did these crazy things where God has covered us, hidden us, where we didn't know what to do, and the presence of God came over us and said, I'm going to hide you from the enemy in this season. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to protect you. When none of us knew what to do, God came and covered us with his presence, hidden under the flax sheaves. There's a season where hiding is the only thing we can do, where God just covers us and hides us in a place. And I imagine these spies that are underneath the flax sheaves, I mean, their heart had to be pounding. I mean, they've got death threats coming at them. The king wants to kill them. The governor's coming after them. Come on, somebody. If you're from California, the governor was coming after you. They're getting death threats as they're laying underneath these flax sheaves. Feeling the on their skin and up their nose, and they're laying there thinking about if they make one wrong move, they could be killed. If you open up your doors on Pentecostal Sunday, they're going to come throw you in jail, Pastor Larry. Our associate pastor said that was a risk he was willing to take for my husband. We all sat down, are we going to have church or are we not going to have church? And we know this could result in jail. And our pastor, associate pastor, God bless him. Well, I'm all right with that, Pastor John. We're behind you. If they throw you in jail, we'll pray for you. Right? They know that if they make one wrong move on the roof, they could be captured. They could be killed. They know that there's threats all around. They're in enemy territory, but they're on their assignment. Their God-given assignment has placed them into enemy territory, and they're in the perfect will of God. And their hearts are pounding. Because though there's threats all around them, though there are dangers surrounding them, though they're in enemy territory and a fortified city of walls all around that looks impossible, something about looking out over those flax sheets, they know there are cities out there that belong to them. They know that there's a destiny waiting for them, even though it looks scary and it looks like they're going to die and it looks like they might not make it and it looks like the governor's coming after them. They know that this is the moment they were born for. Amen, my brother. Something is happening in the body of believers that though there are threats all around us, we know that this is the time that we should be more excited about serving God. This is the moment that He assigned us for. This is the moment that He chose you for. And they're hidden for a season. And just in that moment, as they're musing these things over, just in that time when they're not sure if they can even move a muscle without getting caught, just in that space of thinking, this is probably the most dangerous thing I've ever done in my life to serve Christ, Rahab comes to them and says this. Joshua chapter 2, verse 8 through 12, I'm going to read it in the Living Bible. I know perfectly well that your God is going to give my country to you, she told them. We are all afraid of you. Everyone is terrified if the word Israel is even mentioned. For we have heard how the Lord made a path through the Red Sea for you when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan. And how you ruined their land and completely destroyed their people. No wonder we are afraid of you. No one has any fight left in him after hearing things like that. For your God is the supreme God of heaven, not just an ordinary God. New American Bible section of it says, and said, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that a dread of you has come upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land tremble with fear because of you. The Amplified Bible says, and she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror and dread of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted in despair because of you. Where have they heard those words before? Where has that resonated in their heart, in their mind, in their spirit before? They're in an unlikely place covered with flax heaps where God has hidden us through a season of upheaval, unrest, plagues. And now here they are in the midst of it all. They hear this word spoken by Rahab. God put a prophecy into the mouth of a harlot. Where had they heard those words before? The Song of the Sea. 40 years earlier. After they crossed the Red Sea, when Moses and Miriam began to sing the song of Moses, they called it the Song of the Sea. Y'all remember that? I know y'all remember that because you're all preachers. The Song of the Sea. It went like this. From Exodus chapter 15, 13 through 15. When they sing the Song of the Sea, the people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab trembling will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. Yes. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as stone till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. This is what they heard 40 years earlier. When Moses began to sing the song and Miriam piped up and prophesied the future of the dread coming on Canaan. And now what was prophesied 40 years later, God fulfills in the mouth of a harlot.
See, God will go to great measures to get his people to move. And sometimes they might be a little bit hilarious. And sometimes they might be a little bit ridiculous. I mean, why choose an unreputable woman like Rahab to fulfill his word to get them to move? Because they're hidden there. They're waiting for just the right moment to move into what God wants them to do. Look at your neighbor again if you want to say, move with what you've got. Now they have a word of a harlot. They go from hiding to hearing. Because hiding is for a season, but hearing will give you the strength to move. I'm going to say it again. Hiding is for a season, but hearing will give you the strength to move. When you hear from God, whether it's a scripture he brings up in your heart, or you get a prophetic word, or he sends somebody to give you a word, when you hear from God, it gives you the strength to move forward. We have to have the strength to move out of the season that we've been in. God no longer wants us to stay talking about what's happened, what's going on, how we're going to be stuck here forever. God, the devil is afraid of a moving church. The dread of them had come on them. Darkness is afraid of us moving forward together in unity with the prophetic voice of God, giving us our direction, giving us our marching orders. Say, this is not the end. There's still a future. There's still cities to possess. There's still promises to be had. When they heard, they had the strength to move. When we first moved to Myrtle Point, I thought we were in Mayberry. We're walking around in this little beautiful town near the coast where people ride donkeys. I taught a Bible study in my home where a lady got on her horse and rode her horse to my house and tied it on a tree. Wow. We went walking down the streets of Myrtle Point, and I was whistling Mayberry, the Mayberry song. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, right? What in the world are we doing on the backside of this mountain? And God had sent us there. And I wasn't sure I wanted to be there. And we stayed for 9 years. And what happened was I fell in love with the people. I fell in love with the city. I fell in love with the assignment. Because when it's a God assignment, that's where you find your joy. Amen? We've been into the backside of a desert or in Idaho. Wherever it's at, if it's a God assignment, that's where you find your joy. And I fell in love with the people and the donkeys and the horses, and I bought chickens, and I learned how to can. I mean, I was all in this thing. I'd go out to the chicken coop in my high heels. Come on, somebody. I was trying. But then God sent revival and the wonderful people that have sowed and intercessors that have sowed into that land, into that community. And we just began to harvest what people had been praying for years. And God sent revival where we saw 250 kids get saved out of the high school. And their families are coming in. And God began to move. And I started liking Mayberry. And we lived in this great big farmhouse for free that my husband had a dream before we moved down there. And my husband doesn't dream very often, so when he does, I pay attention. But he had a dream that this old woman had a house for us to live in for free. Well, that's a fun dream. He has one maybe every 10 years when he's not snoring. And he has this dream, and so this lady, kid you not, she comes to us after about 6 months we're there. She's got this old farmhouse that nobody lives in, built in the 1800s, has no insulation and mice. She didn't tell me that part. But she said, would you like to live in this house for free? And I said, I think that will be a yes. So we lived in this old farmhouse and built in the 1800s, and we just loved it. We fell in love with the community, and I'm happy in Mayberry, and revival's happening, and people are getting saved and healed and delivered, and we're just the move of God is happening. And then suddenly, Pastor Bill and my husband sit down and start talking about we should move to Sutherland after I've fallen in love with Mayberry, after I don't want to leave, after I don't want to move. And so I went into prayer, because when you hear from God, that gives you the strength to move. And the Lord said to me about my husband, he said, I've called him as a general, And if you continue to influence him in a way I'm not directing him, I'll count it as spiritual treason. I said, honey, I'm packing my bags over here. Honey, I think we're going to Sutherland. Why? Because I heard the prophetic from God and it gave me the strength to move. God wants to give you a prophetic word that'll not necessarily move to another town, but to move into your next season. To move past the brokenness. To move past the last thing. You know, they had lost a lot of things in the last season. They've lost Moses. The leader, they thought that was going to lead them into the promised land. He's died like a month earlier. And here they are. Do they have the strength to move? Yes, once the prophetic voice came out of a harlot. I mean, God's ridiculous. I mean, look at all of us. I don't know about you, but I came out of the dumpster. God's ridiculous. Of who he will rescue and raise up. The unlikely ones, the dirty ones, the broken ones. You think you don't belong here? Join the club. You belong here. You are meant for this moment. You were chosen. If you're in this room, God handpicked you, wrote out your story, and said in 2022, you're my chosen vessel. You're going to bring revival. Well, I've got a crazy background. Well, I've heard about the surfer guy over there. He's got a crazy background, right? They heard the prophetic word from a harlot, and it gave them the strength to move. And they jump up, and they run to Joshua, and they repeat the word almost verbatim to Joshua of what they've heard. The song of the sea. And I bet it just went off in the heart of Joshua. Because don't you know, they must have sang that all through the wilderness. The song of Moses, the song of the sea. That the fear of them would eventually come on Canaan as they're walking around the same dumb mountain for 40 years. Has anyone else done that but me? The same dumb mountain for 40 years eating dust, and they're singing the song of the sea. That one day the fear of them will come on Canaan and they will cross over into their destiny. Moses sang it. Miriam prophesied it. And now I imagine it just went off in the heart of Joshua because he knew that song. He knew that prophetic word. And now we've got Rahab on one side of the Jordan. And we've got the spies and Joshua and all the people on the other side. And all of them are getting ready to move. It is a season shift. Is anybody help me, let me feel like the entire season of the world has shifted? We feel like we're in enemy territory. But we are right where we're supposed to be. And God is going to bring the third great awakening, my friends. He's going to bring it through us. He's going to bring it through his chosen vessels that are willing to be a moving church where we don't get stagnated in last season's move of God. We want today's move of God. And whatever that looks like, I want it. I just want whatever he wants to do. And it goes off in them. They're both getting ready to move, Rahab and all of God's people. And I got to thinking about it, friends. What would a woman pack if she knew she was moving and could take one bag? Who said that? Can I set this up here? Now, what's hilarious is I told my husband I was going to do this illustration. And I said, I need a couple extra bags because don't you know mine and my kids are taken, right? You use up all the bags you have. I said, I need a couple extra bags. So he goes and borrows his bag from his 95-year-old grandmother. Who's 5 feet tall, and I'm filling this thing with what I'm going to fill it with. I did not put this on here. And I started cracking up. I said, this is Rahab's cord. Don't you love it when God just winks at you with something like that? You know, right, by the way, you're right on track. And so Rahab's cord is already on her bag, and I'm imagining, you know, if Rahab was going to take one bag with her, this is what I think she might have taken. I didn't practice this beforehand.
Yeah.
right, thank you. This is what I think would be in Rahab's bag if she was allowed to take one bag with her, all right? Nothing but shoes. Who said shoes? Craig said shoes. He knows his wife well. Karen, how many pairs of shoes did you bring on this trip?
Too many.
More than five? Five, probably. They say the average woman has at least about 19 pairs of shoes. 15% of women have over 30 pairs of shoes. And my husband's almost got me beat. Right? I just imagine if Rahab was told she could take one bag, this is, you know, just my thoughts, that I think she might pack a bag of shoes. Why? Because you want to make sure that you are comfortable in an uncomfortable season. Right? I mean, we know that we've been in an uncomfortable season. We know there's giants out there in the promised land. We know there's fortified cities. Just let me take my shoes with me, God, to make sure I'm comfortable. Just in case I get trapped in that wilderness again, and, you know, I want to make sure I have a few extra pairs. But Rahab didn't have a bunch of shoes, right? Rahab, part of a prophetic song and a red cord. And God said that's all she needed to move forward and make it. All she had was a red cord. She didn't have all these shoes. And I felt like the Lord wanted all you ladies and gentlemen too, but to know that God was going to give us comfort in an uncomfortable season. We don't have to take all of our shoes with us. If all you have is part of a prophetic song and a red cord, you've got enough to move forward into what God wants you to do in this season. Somebody say, move. With what you got. All she's got is a red cord out the window. If she can prophesy the victory of a church with a red cord and part of a prophetic song, how much more can we prophesy the victory of a moving, blood-bought, tongue-talking church? Move with what you got. Well, it's not fair to have a bag for the ladies. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I'm not seen in this. I asked him to pack this. If he was going to pack one bag, and he could only take one bag and nothing else, what would he put in it? What would you guys think it is?
I didn't pack that. I didn't know.
Let's see. I don't even know what these things are. I mean, I know this one is, but, you know, come on. Sometimes my husband will come up with a project so he can buy himself a new tool. Right? It's full of tools. All kinds of tools. Chainsaw. No, that's not a chainsaw. I told you I don't even know what all these are. So I said, pack up what you would pack.
I'm taking this back.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'm a priest with this. So you gentlemen, you have, and ladies too, but you have a desire. I feel like God was talking to me about this, that you have a desire in this season to rise up and build what was lost in the last season. We're walking into a season that we are going to rise up and rebuild. Not just what was lost, but rebuild it even better. Whatever you lost in the last season, whatever was your Moses that died, they had lost Moses and the hope of all that he was going to bring with them. They had lost something. All of us have lost something from the last season. But God's idea isn't, you know, the world's idea is move on. God's idea is move forward. Move on means cut your losses. Just, you know, get over it. Toughen up, sister. Toughen up, buttercup. Right? Just move on. That's the world's idea. Cut your losses. Let it go. It's never coming back. And we feel that loss for so much. Some of you lost people. And my heart goes out to the ones that have lost people to COVID and lost loved ones and lost people. And it's been a season of loss. But God's idea isn't to move on. God's idea is to move forward. Where that's where you just don't just cut your losses. You take what you lost in the last season and you plant it as seed. And you trust that God's going to have you take something significant from your losses into your next season. Yeah. Nothing will be wasted. None of your losses will be wasted. None of your seeds will be wasted if you move forward in God and say, God, I'm planting this pain as seed. I'm planting this loss as seed. I'm planting the people that left my church as seeds that you'll bring a great harvest of a whole new crop. We're going to move on, move forward, not just move on. God cares about your pain. God cares about your losses. God cares about what you let go and what was painful in the last season. But he doesn't want us to stay there any longer. Right. Moses died.
Yes.
But we're going to move forward.
Yes.
And God's going to bring a great harvest.
Yes.
Out of the seeds that we plant in the ground. And say, God, I dedicate this to the building of your kingdom. Make something beautiful. Make beauty out of the ashes of the last season. And we're going to move forward in him. So we know that Rahab only had, she didn't have all these shoes. She had a red cord and part of a prophetic song. That's all she had. And her entire family was saved from a red cord. And they might have looked like Grandma Polly's, I don't know. But Joshua didn't have a red cord. Joshua had the part of a prophetic song that he heard from 40 years before that was just fulfilled in the mouth of an unlikely woman. But that's not all he had. And I imagine as this song is just reverberating in his spirit and he's thinking about the song of Moses, his spiritual father who poured so much into him for 40 years. And I imagine if he was looking at what he did have to move forward with, because he didn't have Moses any longer. Moses is dead. But he knows that if he doesn't move forward in this season, all the walking, all the sowing, all the previous season will be lost if he doesn't move forward in that moment right there. Look at your neighbor and say, this is your moment. What does he have? He has the Ark of the Covenant. And you all know what was in the Ark of the Covenant because you're all preachers. This is all he had. Part the prophetic song fulfilled in the mouth of Rahab and the Ark of the Covenant with the stone tablets, the golden jar of manna, and the budded rod, the budded branch of Aaron. That's all he's got to move forward into a place that's full of cities that are occupied. And you know, they missed it 40 years or earlier. They don't want to blow it again and live in the wilderness for the rest of their lives. Something's got to rise up in Joshua to give him the courage to move forward. And he can't run to Moses. So I started thinking about this. And, you know he's thinking, this is my thoughts of him imagining what's in the Ark of the Covenant. Is it enough for him to go forward with just that? And you know, the manna was to remind them of God's provision. And we know the stone tablets came, of course, and gave them a foundation. But I got to thinking about this budded branch. And this group in this room. Because the budded branch represented when the leaders, when people were rising up against the leaders in the rebellion. And they were rising up and coming against leadership. And God said, get 12 rods from each of the 12 tribes and lay them in front of the testimony. And remember this? And overnight, Aaron's rod budded and blossomed and produced almonds. Overnight. And God made sure that all of the congregation knew who his chosen vessels were. That the Levites would carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Levites would be the one to carry it on their shoulders. And as Joshua is thinking about the budded branch and how God made his selection sure and God made sure that all the people knew who his chosen vessels were. I mean, has anybody else in the room had people come against you in the last season? I mean, if you wear a mask, you're evil. And, you know, if you open the church, you're a heretic. And we had some people tell us because we had drive-in church that they wish my husband would have been swallowed up by the earth by like those Old Testament prophets. Has anybody else had people come against you in the last season? But I came to tell you tonight that your branch has budded. Your branch has blossomed. Your branch is producing almonds. And you are the chosen vessel to take this budded branch. I brought one because this is off of my almond tree. I was out driving one day, and I asked the Lord a question a couple months ago, and didn't have any kids in the car, which is a rare miracle. And I said, God, what are you doing right now? And just instantly he answered me, and he said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. I said, oh, that's kind of quiet, and it got quiet. And he said, Kevin, what does it mean to be watching over my word to perform it? Don't you love it when he asks you questions? You know he's not looking for the answer like he doesn't know it, right? He's just trying to get you to dig deeper into the word and dig deeper into his presence. And I said, well, I'm not sure, Lord. And he said, why don't you find out? So I began to dig through the scriptures. And of course, I come over into the scripture in Jeremiah. I know you all know the scripture in Jeremiah. Chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. I'm going to read in the Amplified. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see the branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. So God associates the almond tree with the fulfillment of his word. Some even call the almond tree the awakening tree or the watcher tree. Because the almond, in the Hebrew, the word is, I believe it's pronounced shakid. Shakid. And it means something. Shakid. My notes fell all over the place.
Sorry.
There it is. The Hebrew root for almond was watching. Shakids in the Strongs is to awake, watch, wake, be alert, and to keep watch of or be awakeful over. So they call it the watcher tree or the awakening tree. And I begin to think about this almond tree because my husband and I built an addition during the pandemic. It was crazy. Like, we decided we were going to build an addition on our house. And he did most of the work himself because he didn't think he needed to call anybody. And he saved us $2,000 by putting the roof on himself because someone told him they didn't think he could do it. And when it was all said and done, after the sawdust and the craziness of about a year and a half, my new living room sits pushed out further because we had about a 900 square foot addition. And it sits out, and right out in front of my living room is an almond tree. And the Lord began to quicken to me of the promises, the prophecies, the things I prayed for years ago. And he's reminding me with this almond tree right outside my window, see, I'm watching over my word to perform it. There are words and promises and prophecies that have been given to everyone in this room that God is attentively watching over to fulfill them in your life. And you may have forgotten them, but God has not. He's watching over those. And I believe God is breathing new, fresh life. I believe that even tonight and over the next few days, these words that you've gotten from the Lord maybe 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago are going to begin to come. You're going to remember them again, and they're going to come alive again. And God's going to remind you, I've not forgotten that word. I'm going to bring it to pass in your life. Your branch has budded. And God is going to perform that word in your life. And I believe as we go into the next season, you are taking your budded branch, which means you're carrying an awakening of God into the next season. Look at your neighbor and say, your branch has blossomed. move with what you got. We're not waiting for God to just bring some great awakening. He is letting us move forward in Him with His presence. You are His chosen vessels for this season. I'm going to come up. You want that?
Hallelujah. My wife and I do a lot of work together here, and so as I'm sitting there listening to this, the Lord has dropped several words in my heart that I need to share with many of you. And this is this branch here, this almond tree, Bob Giles, is for you. Okay. And as I'm sitting back there, I felt like the Holy Spirit just said this. Okay. This almond branch is yours. Because there are many things that you have heard God speak over the years that you have been faithfully serving Him. Amen. Where it's felt like things God promised you were held back because of outside forces, different things like that, outside of your control. But God is telling you right now, the branch has budded. Every word He has spoken into your heart and quickened it is still alive, and He is going to bring it to pass.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And this is not just for your ministry, but this is also the dreams that you have of the mission and the missions organization within Grace International. Mm-hmm. There are things that you haven't yet seen happen. There are nations on your heart that you haven't seen planted and affected yet in the time that you spend praying and interceding on the in those arenas. Don't give up hope.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So Pacific Northwest. That's everybody in the room. All right? This is a new season. Okay? You have crossed over the Jordan. Take your rod. Now, you all know that the rod, the staff, represented a person. It represented their call. It represented their history. Their staff, they would mark so that it was identified as their staff. When they had great victories in their past, they would tag that. They would mark that. Okay? Their rod represented them. And you'll notice that they took the rods and they laid them down in the presence of God. And the rod had then budded inside that presence. And this is what I sense the Lord was saying to us in the Pacific Northwest. This is a new season. You have crossed the River Jordan. Now take your rod, take your call, take the word, and start marching around your city.
Amen.
Take it.
Amen.
Take it.
Amen.
Amen. I did some thinking on this. How many got to be in the Dalles? Back was that September, I believe it was, when we were gathered up there? And the Holy Spirit asked me this question. He says, what could I do with a tithe of your town? And I began thinking about that, you know, what that was, and realized, you know, we are not actually that far off. And I got to looking at it. There's 241, according to Google, so it has to be true, right? 241 towns in the state of Oregon, which means that we are 6 church plants away in the state of Oregon from having a tithe of the cities represented by Grace International in the entire state of Oregon. Only 6. What could happen if we had a tithe of our state? How fast would our state turn if we had a tithe of our state serving God? That's the assignment He's given us. You have what it takes. Pick it up and go.
Amen.
Jeremy. Okay. I love you, man. How many love Jeremy and Shekinah?
Yeah.
And your kids even raised their hand. That's awesome. Right? God is calling you to dream bigger. Okay. You're called to do more than you have yet seen. Your time praying in the Spirit, as you're praying in your language and you're spending that time in there, it is birthing an increase in anointing and vision. And you're going to notice the increase in the release of God would not let me get away from this, of the Shekinah glory, okay, in your services, okay? And He was encouraging you, be sure to intentionally be attentive to where you sense and see the glory being released in service. You know, when you feel that, don't push through, you know, I've got to get through. I mean, anybody else ever feel the pressure of, well, I got, you know, we got to do this and we got to get to the, you know, and those things. Don't let yourself be there. Hang in that presence and entertain the presence and glory of the Lord. And He's going to show you and move in the room, and the flow of the Holy Spirit is going to astound you with what you're going to see Him do. Okay? Dream bigger. Amen. Don't be afraid to dream bigger. Amen. All right? Pastor Larry, I just looked over at you and the Lord said, this is what the sense I had was, he's put a new fire on your tongue. Okay? Now, I love hearing you preach. Amen. Okay? I get 10 sermons and I steal them and I don't give you any credit for it. Okay? I take notes. How many love Pastor Larry when he preaches? Amen. Amen. And it's not a new revelation. It's not a new idea. It's not a new grand thing. It is a fresh one. You know, when they were in the upper room in prayer, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and there sat on each one tongues as of fire. Okay? And I just sense just a new, fresh anointing that's going to be released through you and your ministry. And I'm excited to hear Amen. It tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. Troy, okay? I saw you pushing hard against the door, working and doing everything that you could to try to make this thing happen. Okay? And suddenly, it was like you looked up, and it was like the Lord was speaking a word to you, and it was something like this. Remember, did I not say that you would speak to the mountain, and it would be removed and be cast into the sea? Mm-hmm. And suddenly, you stopped pushing, and you stepped back, and you looked at it, mm-hmm. and you just simply said, move, and that thing opened. The things that you'd been working so hard, doing all the right stuff, trying to make happen, mm-hmm. but suddenly, God just reminded you, hey, you have authority. Mm-hmm. You tell that thing to move. And that thing broke and Amen. It moved. I want to encourage you, Amen. Okay, with that. Those things that you're pushing, that you're pressing for, you know, you speak into it.
Amen.
Amen? All right. Awesome. William, okay, you know what explosive growth feels like, okay? Mm-hmm. But God says he's teaching you how to grow, or excuse me, how to build and sustain exponential growth.
Mm-hmm.
Pray on that. Okay, pray on that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody under 30 in the room, stand up. 30 and under. 30 and under. How awesome is that?
Amen.
Amen. 30 and under. We're going to pray over you all. I need some help. You know, those of you that are around them. Okay, I want to take a minute and pray over them. Okay, they would hide in the Word, and then God set it apart. Amen. They hid the staff in the presence of God, and God distinguished it. And I want to encourage all of you in here, 30 and under, okay? And it was this. If you'll take your staff, your call, your gift, who you are, and you will lay it and hide it in the presence of God, okay? You're not going to have to force your way in. You're not going to have to work hard to rise up and be recognized. Mm-hmm. If you will hide yourself Good. In the presence of God, you know, your gift will make room for you.
Amen.
Okay? Allow the presence of God to bring alive and to raise up in you what he has deposited in you.
Amen.
What does hiding it in the presence of God look like? Well, it looks like hiding in his word.
Amen.
You know, I want to encourage you, get in the Word, read it, read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. Amen. Study the Word of God. You are not wasting your time doing that.
Amen.
Spend time praying in the Spirit. Amen. And as you're praying and you're praying in the Spirit, you're hiding in His presence. And then here's what the third part of hiding in His presence looked like. Hide in honor. Get up under these people God has placed you under and honor them. And honor what God is ministering through you. You're hiding in there, and your rod will bud.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we take a minute and pray over all the young people? If you got one of them standing here, can you just stand up and just lay hands on them if they're okay with that? And you know, Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you for the gifts and callings that you have placed on this young generation, God. That you are raising up a generation to know you, to serve you, God. I thank you that all the gifts and callings you have placed in them, God, they are there, God. You knit them and weaved them together, and so God, we thank you that right now you are going to bring that budding to pass. You are going to release that anointing as they hide in your presence, God. I pray that over the course of these next few days, there is a deposit that is going to be made inside each one of them that is going to bud and produce fruit in the right season, God. I pray for those that feel the pressure of, I know I've got something in me and I just don't see it. God, I pray that you would give them the courage and the patience to wait out your timing and to stay hidden in your presence. Like Joshua, he refused to jump and run too soon. He stayed in the presence of God, and in due time, God raised him up. I thank you for a number of Joshuas in this room. God, as they hide in your presence, yes, you're going to raise them up, and I thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All you who are 60 and over, can you stand to your feet if you're okay with that? 60 and over. I'm sorry if that's a... I'm giving away some ages here. You 60 and overs. Can I just say something to you? We honor you.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
For the blood, the sweat, and tears that you have poured in.
Amen. Amen.
Making this possible.
Amen.
I know that we stand and operate in things in God because of you. Amen. Thank you. But I want to tell you something. You're not done yet.
Amen.
My generation needs your generation.
Amen.
We need you. And if you're still breathing, we need you.
That's right. Amen.
Aaron's rod had been detached from a root for how many years?
Mm.
And for those of you who are trying to figure out, as I'm getting older, what value do I have? Because it doesn't look like it used to.
Mm.
I want to tell you, Aaron's rod budded and helped frame the nation. You still have time.
Amen.
You still have fruit in you.
Amen.
So I need all you young people to help me.
Amen.
Okay? Can we pray over these vintage believers?
Vintage.
Amen. I want to encourage you young people, just get it, just begin to pray in the Spirit over them. Thank you, Jesus, that one generation shall shout the mighty acts of God into the next generation.
Yes, God,
I thank you that one generation shall shout the mighty acts of God into our generation. That this generation understands things about the power, presence, and purpose of God that they are shouting and releasing into our generation. And God, forgive our generation for trying to reject and throw away the wisdom of the older generation, Lord God. We receive, we honor that tonight. And God, I thank you that there is life left. There is fruit left. There are almonds left, Lord God. And we ask that you would cause this rod to bud again, Father God. That you would cause it to bloom again, Father God. I thank you for it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your
presence,
God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Over any wound, over any
hallelujah
spoken against her, I break it.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. And I
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And sound and solid, Father God, moving forward in victory, Father God.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, Father God, I release your
thank
joy
you, Jesus
into her tonight, Father God.
Thank you,
joy
Jesus.
The of the Lord is her strength, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus
thank you, Jesus.
Name, your fresh infilling
hallelujah
of your joy tonight, God. In
hallelujah
the name of Jesus,
hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you for it.
I got one group
hallelujah
left.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. To the middle.
Amen.
That's between 30 and 60.
That's us.
Mm. Hallelujah. Who's between 30 and 60? Yeah. Hey, come on. If you sit down now, they're going to think you're over 60. So I'm getting in trouble for this one. Hallelujah. I just felt, and I was reminded of this phrase, to the victor go the spoils.
Mm.
Okay, this is a time of war.
Yeah.
This is a time of war. We're called into war. and the spoils are souls. Be a good soldier. Fight your battles well. It's not just the war going on in Russia and Ukraine. Okay, this is the war between light and darkness. This is the war between heaven and hell. We had a lady who, young lady who walked into the doors of our church in September, and her life has been hell. And she had been in and out of drug scene, couple of kids. Young man who she'd been together with was trying to get off meth through the state system, you know, the methadone clinics and so on. And they'd been at a party, and he talked her into having one drink, which turned into more than one drink. And as he's driving 90 miles an hour intoxicated down the road, and they're fighting over the wheel and screaming at each other, and he pulls over to the side, opens the door, and throws her out into the ditch. Peels off and takes off Buckhorn Road, for those that are in Roseburg. You might remember this. About 5 minutes later, she hears the sirens of an ambulance flying by because he had hit a telephone pole and was ejected from the car at 90 miles an hour, instantly killed. But for the grace of God, she would have been ejected out the window too. And she walked into the church, never having been in church a day in her life. And she found the grace and love of Jesus and gave her life to the Lord. She comes into the office. I don't know if I can say this. This is being recorded, so I'm sorry in advance. I won't use. She sits down talking to my wife, and she's just dropping F-bombs all over the place. She doesn't know that that's not okay in church. Telling her story. And my wife just loving on her. The grace of God that he wants to release through you. Be prepared. Because people are coming in hurting and broken.
It's the right house.
And you are carrying the grace and the anointing of God to help them go free.
Amen.
This is war. Amen. To the victor go the spoils. Pray amen.
Amen.
Believe God for them. Amen.
Can I pray into that?
Hallelujah. Yeah.
I just want to pray into that. My husband said to me probably 3 or 4 months ago, and actually said it to our whole staff, and he said, we're entering a time of war. About 4 months ago, he said that. And what's so encouraging about, you hear, well, we're entering a time of war, is that they were walking into a time of war with their budded staff. It was the promised land, but it was war. They were taking the awakening and going into a place where they were going to have to do battle, and Jericho was the first city to fall. But it was a time of God manifesting his promises in a season of war. And so when you hear it's a season of war, that's actually God's invitation to his church to see his promises manifest in that season. To the world, it looks like destruction. To his church, it looks like reconstruction. To the world, it looks like everything's falling apart. To his church, it looks like this is how I'm going to build my kingdom, because we've inherited a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so we're taking, and I just want to encourage you that we're taking that awakening into a season of war, not to be fearful of that, but to watch God manifest his promises in the midst of even though it looks like the world's falling apart. The kingdom is not. And they took that awakening into a season of war and watched victory after victory after victory. And they did it with Rahab coming with them. Yeah. And I have this prophetic word in my heart for the leaders to watch for the Rahabs. Watch for those that don't have a clue. Watch for those that come in and drop, you know, bombs of cursing in your office, because God is bringing the Rahabs into the church. God is watching for the Rahabs that don't know anything, and they're just, the world's falling apart, and God is sending the Rahabs running into the kingdom of God. And I want them. I don't care if they're messy and sticky and hungover and, you know, under the bridge. I want the Rahabs. So can we pray into that tonight? So let's just, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand this back to Pastor Ed. Yes, Father, we pray right now for the ones that are standing, Father God. We pray, Father God, that they would possess and take in all of the spoils that belong to them, Father God. That great would be the harvest of souls won through them, Father God. We pray, would you lift up your hands if you're standing up? God, we pray over their hands, God, that you would bless every work of their hand, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that all they set their hand to is blessed. God, we thank you that you encompass them with favor as with a shield, according to Psalm 5, God, and everywhere they go, they are favored of God. We thank you for doors opening for them of their own accord, Father God. I'm watching a place that they didn't know how they got in, God, but your favor is going before them and making a way for them, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for surprise checks in the mail, God. I thank you for surprise provision, Father God, coming from inheritances that they didn't even know were there. And God, I pray that when it shows up in their mailbox, they'll remember that they prayed for it, God, and they'll give you the glory and know that you are the God of surprises, God. You are the God of surprise victory, surprise inheritance, Father God, and we thank you for it and give you all the glory for it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray, Father God, for the Rahabs. God, we pray for the Rahabs to come running into our services, God. We pray for a great harvest, Father God, of souls to come running, the ones that don't have a clue, God, that you would raise them up into powerful men and women of God for this season, for this hour, and we give you all the glory for it in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen.
Thank you so much.